Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. Jordana, always a pleasure to be back here with you. Our 2020 finale. How about it?
Our last episode of the year. Look at that.
What a year it's been, huh?
What a year it's been for dating. I feel like I wonder if we'll remember this year years from now, or if everyone will just forget it existed, like that 1918 flu thing that just like everyone, no one remembers it.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait until 2120 to see if we've forgotten about it 100 years later.
Yeah, I guess so. I forget. It is a long, I guess most of those people are already dead.
And peace be with them. But I gotta assume this is gonna be kind of like a tent pole in memories, like in the way that 9/11 became a tent pole for people. A lot of people, I would say the financial collapse 2007-ish, that's a maybe a shorter tent pole. But right. This 2020, it's got to be something, right?
Of the things that changed either dating or interactions or even relationships, I guess, for permanently.
Oh, relationships, dating, family stuff. Friendships. Obviously, with many people have had deaths in their life. That's horrible. Yeah. It's changed how they look at things. Also, where you're living. Like, remember, when I moved to New York City.
The course of your life. Yeah.
Totally. Like, and what you do for work. Like, I remember moving to New York City, and like everyone had their. Like there was always every like one out of five people would be like, well, after 9/11, I kind of realized that life should be this way and life should be that way. And I kind of turned my ship of life in a different direction. I definitely think you're going to hear those stories from here. I used to say that about comedy. Like when I started doing comedy, it was, 2010, and it was right after, all Lehman Brothers and all the financial collapse stuff. And you could tell like in people doing all of a sudden these people were like, lost my job. So I just started doing creative stuff. I started doing stand up.
Right.
I started doing. And so you met a lot of those types of people and they either kept in it or they, didn't keep doing it. But I think this will be another thing where people go, you know what? I was living in New York and, the pandemic made me move back home and I love my home now. And I didn't think I was a suburban person.
Now I am.
Now I'm living the Hallmark, movie, script that would be written for me.
I feel like every single girl in New York like moved to Miami or something.
I don't blame this whole thing.
I'm not like no offense. I mean, my sister is one of them.
Your sister, I keep up with her Instagram. She is definitely living up the Florida lifestyle. I mean, every one of her pictures of the sea makes me like, okay, what am I doing?
Especially now. And you hear about it seems like a different world down there.
It is. Right? I'm starting to talk about this doing stand up. I just did stand up in St. Louis. I want to thank everyone who came. Literally, they didn't allow drinking or eating inside at the venue that I was at, so people were like drinking from boxes of wine in the car before going into the show. It was like right. I felt like I was underage going to a Dave Matthews concert from high school, like just like everyone bringing their pink Poland Spring bottles and like
that's so funny.
It
you need one of those
wild.
Things like with the helmets with the alcohol and then the straw goes in your mouth under your mask.
Yeah, the camelback under your sweatshirt
right,
that you
called,
wear
yeah.
into the game. Yeah, it, It was truly unbelievable. And listen, I'm going to be in Indianapolis for the New Year's Eve as well as the weekend. So if anyone out there, Indianapolis, want to come, socially distance, they're do all these clubs are doing whatever they can to keep people safe and keep people feeling safe. So if you'd like to come to Indianapolis, jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com. But I'm doing a bit about the difference between New York COVID and Florida COVID because I've gotten like a front row seat to both, and it is a different world down there. And I, again, a lot of this has been politicized as far as like people leaving New York, and they're like, well, good. And I've made fun of these people. I think all you need is some awareness of like people are.
I'm a little bit of a stereotype right now of young girl leaving New York, right?
Also, also, you're not like, you know, New York doesn't miss you. Like we aren't like wondering how Lauren's doing in Florida. You know, New York is going to move on. But also like this misremembering of like, oh, the days of me frolicking the city. It's like you didn't frolic. You did what everyone else did. And then you left the minute it got hard. And that's OK. Listen, right. I'm looking out my window right now and this ain't, you know,
it's shitty out today. Yeah. And I mean, but I do have to say, is finishing this year off. We're recording this a few weeks early, but today we're recording it on the day they just started giving out the first vaccine. So I do feel like I have a hopeful energy for next year. I'm like, I'm hopeful. I'm excited about it. I think like it will be bad and then it will be really good.
Okay. Well, I love that. I'm with you. I'm always on the hopeful side. I try to have, practical delusional is kind of like my mindset. Practical delusion. I think it's okay to be hopeful. It's okay to be positive. I think we try to bring an energy of positivity here, especially when we're talking a lot about dating stuff where people are like, some people are like, dating's dead. You can't date. Yeah. We're in a second lockdown. Most places, a lot of places, unless you're in Florida where they're just licking each other's armpits. I would say like, we're going to stay positive here. And just because you're positive doesn't mean that you're not aware of the realities and the bleakness of everyone can go into.
Yeah, totally. And like, you know what I mean? It's still, dating is still happening in different forms in different places as we've seen. And so I think that.
So I got to ask you, are you a resolutions person?
Do I have resolutions? Yeah, I like to, I mean, like, it's fun. I feel like resolutions get a bad rap because everyone's like, well, you never make them. It's like, sure. I think it's good to go into the year with like a goal that you think is like some way you'd like to improve a little bit. I don't have hard and fast ones, really.
I never understood the anti-resolution person. Like, that's just like, do you want me to give up? Is that what you want? You want me to just like sit here and like fucking rot away? You can't achieve anything unless you try. So like, I think resolutions are great. Like, you can't, unless you put it down on paper, you're never going to like try and get to the goal. So you can't fail unless you put it down. So
do you have a resolution?
Every year I put a couple things down on paper that I'd like to be better at, to do, to have happen. You know, last year was, I really wanted to do a late night TV set. Like, that's always been at the top of my list. And then I had a set.
And then there's no.
Well, then I had a set approved by the Tonight Show.
I remember that.
A set. And then like. Then they were like, no audiences. And I was like, well, that, and then the Tonight Show, you know, went away. And now you're kind of, what sucks is like, you get thrown back in the bucket. Like, you know, they're probably going to find it, you know, whenever they come back.
Well, like, that set is probably wouldn't be relevant as
things
as a set
change.
Right now.
Yeah. It'd be a little different. Hey everybody, how about going into restaurants? That was my opening. I did reach out and be like, hey, they started doing sets from people from home and stuff. And I was like, I'll do one of those.
Cool.
Well, and then they were like, yeah, we're going to go with people we know already. Like, the people who have already done it. Maybe like, you know, and I was like, oh, okay, not me. So that's okay. Like, so I'd like that still to happen. I'm, again, delusional, hopeful, delusional, practical delusion. I'm delusional to think that could happen. And I'm also staying practical that maybe it could happen. So I
don't think that's delusional.
Well, you know, you can, one can dream. And so otherwise it's like to keep growing, to keep, to be better than I was last year. I always have that kind of feeling, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think my resolutions aren't like, they're like the worst. They're like the kind they say don't happen because there's no like time bound specific numeric goal. But I'd like to be a little more organized. I'd like to be a little more meticulous, and we'll see if that happens.
It's got to be tough to, you got engaged this year. Like that kind of gets like, you know, I'm sure you don't forget, but like I'm saying like, you know, do you look at 2020 and go, that was the year I got engaged? Do you have a, do you feel badly that like, not badly, but like there is a hard, it's hard to celebrate things from this year too.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had like the like a real engagement party that would have been like fun. But in the grand scheme of the people who are like fucked by this year, like sure. I don't think that's that big of a of a thing. Like my wedding is like, you know, what I mean, I haven't planned, nothing got like really taken away from me in that sense. So I don't feel like it would have been nice, but I don't think it was like one of the big things that I was like super pumped for.
Sure. I mean, but that's kind of the problem with this year. You know, like is that what you just did, the way you just said that was like, it's interesting. Like everyone's kind of doing, we are all aware of people doing worse than us, but all of us have had things that we'd rather them gone a different way. And it's like, so it's hard to even say, 2020 was great. I got engaged. Like, I'm so happy, right. You know, without also, I'm sorry to the people, you know, like without having kind of a press conference.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. Overall, I feel like my year was like not that bad. Like I actually do. I mean, I miss like seeing friends and events and like the activities, but like, I am kind of introverted. I like don't love going out and speaking to and meeting new people. I've really enjoyed not having to commute to work.
Yeah.
I got engaged, and like, I do feel like it's funny because like I talk about relationship anxiety a lot. And so I do feel like having that, and now it's been a few months, I guess I've let the, you know, once everything's like rested or like, I forgot, I don't know how to put the phrase is, but now that everything's calmed down, I do feel like I have a lot more mental energy to put into like work and like career and like growing the business and things like that. Yeah. I do feel like because I had, you know what I mean, that with like the looming engagement thing and myself just being overly anxious about work, I've like been able to concentrate on other things in my life more.
Interesting. Do you think that's a thing for a lot of women where it's like you're and I say women just because we have a lot of women that write in here, but like
right.
The idea that like the anxiety and the thought that goes into where you stand relationship wise takes away from the ability to like be a better worker, be a better, you know,
right.
To concentrate on all the other things in life.
Be a better friend, be a better whatever. Yeah. I mean, I think that, I mean, if anyone who's listening is anything like me, then for sure. It's funny because like, you know, I listen to you on Diet Starts Tomorrow. I listen to Diet Starts Tomorrow. And the way they describe like all this mental energy going into thinking about like, what am I going to eat? And like, you know, like at, and like the whole process around food and the whole thing. It's like, I definitely felt that way when I was much more intensely when I was dating. I was like, is he going to text me? And like, was he going to like, and should I text him back? And when, how many times have we gone out? And like, you know what I mean? Like overthinking all of that stuff and being so like fixated on it that it was hard to really get into to other things. And I think that like there is a parallel there with like dieting and food that maybe, I mean, maybe you could relate to more than like the
being
wondering if a girl's going to text you or not.
Listen, I always say, I don't know what these people think about that can fit into a t-shirt easily. Like, I don't know
think about a text from a guy. That's what
like how the people who can fit in t-shirts haven't found a cure for every disease ever is beyond me. I'm like,
you get it.
Like, I get it. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. What are you going to do for New Year's? What are you going to, do you have any plan? Like,
well, we are going to Florida, between Christmas and New Year's. My sister lives there, so we're going to go.
So you're going to go, you're going to see what
front row seat. I'm going to be very safe.
but a front row seat to this, to the madness. I mean, yes. The difference between Florida and New York is like almost like you've walked into, it's like going from the black and white Wizard of Oz to the color Wizard of Oz.
Right. Like, especially, you mean, you look at, again, we look outside today in particular, it's like this foggy Gotham City, like mist over the city. It looks, I mean, it looks nice. It's like, you don't know how to feel about it. You're kind of, you're like a little jealous when you see those things, but then you're like, oh, sure. That seems unsafe. I don't know. Like,
well, my dad put it right. He goes, you'd rather be miserable here than miserable there.
That seems fair.
That's a fair assessment while also staying as safe as possible. Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. You know, I'll be in Indianapolis again. Please, if you want to come, if you feel good coming, that would be great. But, you know, it's do you think people will, like, do something for New Year's? Do you think that there's going to be this, like, Thanksgiving, just like there was Thanksgiving, where it's like these people that are doing stuff, like, but they're going to be with, like, a core group of people. Right.
With or people who they vetted, yeah.
Yeah. I think people will do that anyways.
In New York, I think, like, if you have a, you know, a group of friends that you know have been safe, like, maybe you would do that. I don't know what the deal in Florida is. I know there is a curfew there that's 11, so maybe that will curtail that, whatever concerns they have about that. It does seem like, I get it, it's the last hump to get over before we're, like, out of this, like, everything. I'm kind of like, if it's just another couple months, like, can I just not leave my apartment? Like, I don't know. It's
well,
tough.
I will say to people, there's going to be that annoying person that's going to go, just because coronavirus doesn't know it's 2021. And it's like, yeah, we know. Just let us have the turning the page in the book of, like, let's refresh, let's shake it off, let's enter into the positive realm, right?
Right. And I think the funniest thing of this year is how every person, like we've said this before, like, has their own rules.
Oh, like, the rationalizations. Everyone has,
like, they're all, like, it's just very interesting to have, like, because, again, there's no real, like, thing at the top that's like, everyone is doing the same, this is okay, this is not okay. It doesn't really make sense necessarily, the things that are and aren't okay. Everyone's like, well, I will do this, but I won't do that. And they, like, it seems a little random.
Well, everyone's turned on each other. I don't know if I told this on this podcast, but I was in Florida for Thanksgiving with my parents, and I was working out on a field near my parents' home.
Your parents are farmers.
They have a huge crop of
oranges.
Oranges. Yeah, they got a huge orange field. So I'm on this field working out. I told you, I work out over the phone with @Forzag. If you want to follow him on Instagram, 2020 has brought Forzag into my life, and I really do enjoy working out with him over the phone. He's got a lot of free stuff. He's got a lot of, like, lessons on there @Forzag to pump his tires a minute. So I am on this field working out with him. All of a sudden, there's a family doing a socially distanced get-together next to me. They got the babies. They got the, you know, they got the young couple who has the babies. You got the grandma who's all Chanel'd up. You got the grandpa who I think was divorced from the grandma because he wouldn't go near her or anyone else when she showed up. So I'm watching their whole dynamic while working out. It was the best, you know, thing to keep my mind occupied while doing, you know, doing air squats. So I look over and they go, okay, let's take a picture. And they go to take a picture, and they just were around each other doing the right thing. They're outside. To me, what they're doing is nice. They're outside. They got no roof over their head. It's fresh air. They're staying away from each other. They're not sitting there, like, going crazy. But then the grandma, who's all Gucci'd up, or, you know, Chanel grandma.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
You know, the hair, you know, she's 50, but also she's 20. So she goes, picture time. So they all go to get to the picture, and they go, and she goes, wait, put on the mask. And, like, why? And
like, it's just, like, for the picture.
Just for the picture. And she goes, come on, put on the mask. And it's like, we've created our own Big Brother. We've like she is worried about someone, you know, in her group of Gucci girls commenting, going, didn't wear the mask on Thanksgiving when they did as much as they could. They were all trying. They made a special event to be outside as a family. Like, if anything, they made some effort. And then this picture shows they're more afraid of the social ramifications than they are the disease at that point, because they are literally changing their lives for, and they don't even have to post it, but they're like, we have to post it. It's like a big brother of our own creation. And that only happens because we've all found different ways to be good. We're all different rationalizations. And I don't want to go on right. and on, but it's a perfect example of what you're talking about. It's like they're yeah. being good, but they're like not sure if someone else is good interferes with their good, so they don't want to be called out and have to get in an argument about fucking QAnon in their Facebook comments.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, it's been a year of that, which has yeah. been, that's I think almost the worst part. Like the
I'm exhausted by it. I'm with you. I think I'm exhausted by it. I want, you know, you just want people to figure out.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we're lucky. This is the worst part for us. But like still
no, but like I feel anxiety annoying. About it on a daily yeah. basis. I mean, what do we do after we tape these? Hey, we talk to Sean, the producer, and go, do we say anything? Can we, we've had, you know, so many episodes reviewed by a third party ear. Every time I do something, I go, Jess, am I going to be attacked by someone for what I do? And she'll go, no, I like, you know, again, a lot of checking in with people when our intent is just to talk and have a nice right. conversation. So,
yeah, it's annoying.
Did I bring us down? I thought the story about the family was relevant.
That was, yeah. A happy, healthy family is always a good story.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about how to move on if you've got a breakup in the pandemic.
Okay.
Like right now.
Hard. Very difficult.
Yeah, I would imagine, especially, I mean, if you live in New York. So I'll read the email. We can get into it.
If you're in Florida, you're out in the field having a great time.
Yeah, seriously. Hi, J&J. Love the pod, et cetera. I recently broke up with my boyfriend of over 2 years. For context, I'm 27. This was my first long-term relationship. We lived together and I thought he was the one at one point. But we lost our spark and at some point and we struggled to get it back. We were rocky for a while before we broke up, not fighting, but not feeling connected. I think we both knew it was going to end a while before it finally happened. We officially broke up in early October. I know breaking up was the healthy thing to do, but I've been struggling with moving on. In normal non-COVID times, I would have other things to fill my life with that would mark the passing of time and help me heal. Weddings, vacations, etc. But in this situation, I feel like I'm at a standstill. It's been over 2 months now, but it feels so fresh. I also feel like a normal way for me to move on is to start dating again. But with the pandemic combined with being out of the dating game for so long, I feel totally unsure about how to make that move. I know my mid-pandemic breakup dilemma is not unique, so I thought this might connect with other listeners. I feel so paralyzed between wanting to move on and not feeling like I have the tools to do so right now. It feels like I haven't seen him in forever and also like no time has passed. Is this normal in a serious breakup?
It's been forever in a moment, all at once.
All at once. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Is this normal in a serious breakup or is this paralyzed feeling something that is specific to pandemic times? Thanks for all you do.
Well, I think this is a very relatable email, right?
Definitely. Like, for like,
there's people out. I mean, for as many people that are getting into fast relationships right now, and we know many of them, I'm sure.
A lot of them have written in. Yeah.
What's that?
I said we've had a lot of them write in, yeah.
Yeah, they all write in. There is, for as many of those fast relationships, there's a lot of fast breakups. Mm-hmm. Just as many. So, one, you're not alone. The way she explains it is perfectly reasonable. We lost our spark at some point. We struggled to get it back. We're rocky for a while before we broke up. Not fighting, but not feeling connected. That, to me, is the hardest type of breakup. Because
definitely, yeah.
Two good people who gave it a try. And I think that's the most important thing to, before I give some ideas, because we're two people talking out of our ass, as I say all the time. Before I have some ideas, I just want to say, like, this is why you date. This is why you got, you know, people think they date to get into a relationship. Like, I think you date to make sure you're with the right person.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I think those like 3 month things that seem so annoying when you're dating are actually like really great. Cause if you can, I think 3 months is a great time to figure out, to say, okay, I've like given this person a chance. I like them. It could have gone better. Here's the things that I'm looking for next time.
But even this is, I mean, the 3 month thing. Yeah. But I would even look at the 2 year thing. Like you did 2 years to figure it out. It wasn't able to figure out. You know, and you could go up the year amount. You'd be, you know, for the people that did the 3 month breakup, be thankful it wasn't 2 years. For the people that did the 2 years thing, be thankful it wasn't 10 years. You know, like, for the people that did the 10 years thing, be thankful it wasn't the rest of your life. You know, like, these are the, like, you're going through life to find the happiest version of it. And these 2 years got you to learn about the things you like and don't like. They got you to learn about the type of person you want to be with. They got you to learn what you want to feel like. You know you don't want to feel like you're not connected to your partner. So let's look at the positive that you got out of it, knowing
totally.
Knowing what it should feel like is better than not knowing at all. Like I think that's kind of the hardest part about like moving on with life. Is this the right one? You know, and then everyone's like, well, you know, and all that shit. And it's like,
right.
You know,
I don't think that's necessarily true, but.
I don't think so either. I just want to like tell this person, like, I think with a lot of breakups, the regret and the loneliness comes from like, what could I have done better? But it's like, this is why you date.
Right. And I think that's why, again, like this is one of the harder breakups to have because there's no like real, and it's almost like, I always feel like when it's funny when you hear about like a broken engagement or like a long-term relationship that breaks off for one of these reasons, I'm like, that's always like a positive because it would be so like it would be so easy to just keep going and being like slightly unhappy. Do you know what I mean? Because they're not, it's not like she's not saying this guy was like cheating on me. He was treating me terribly. He's verbally abusive. She's like, it just kind of wasn't there. And like, that's like the bravest breakup to do, because you know it could, because it's like about having the hope that it could be like really good.
Sure. Yeah. I'm with you. So like, to me, it's, yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think when she writes that she's paralyzed, that is a big feeling with everything right now. I think like, not like, listen, I can speak about my own situation where I'd like to be going out of New York, but I'm looking at, I want to make sure I don't miss anything here, even though there's nothing to miss. I don't want to like, you know, leave New York and be disconnected from doing comedy, you know, and I don't want to like, but I also look outside and I'm like, being here is just like, it can bring you down a little bit with the weather and everything. So like, I have that paralyzed feeling is happening with everything. So the idea that she's now out of a relationship being like, what do I even do to feel better? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I feel like it's easy to kind of just like, especially now if you're in one of these places where there's nothing to do, it can feel tough. But it's also like, this is also a situation, I think if we looked at it from the positive of you, it's your chance to kind of do something or go somewhere that you would never done before. So like, I don't know if she's working, if she has to go into an office or not, or if she's not. Like, to me, it would be like, now is a good time, almost take advantage of the like good parts of the situation that we're in. And again, people don't like to talk sure. about or mention how there are good parts, but of it's course. Like, take a month, go somewhere else. Or like, I mean, it's, I think it's, even if it's like, obviously it's a privileged ability to just pick up and go somewhere. But if you yeah. could, if you could do that, I think if you have the means or the ability, like, and you're single, like, this is like a great, sometimes those breakups like help you jumpstart or get into something creative.
I'm
or like
with
do something
you.
New with your life or try something different. It's like a great time to start that new project.
We can't change the atmosphere, but we can change how we kind of react to the atmosphere. So I would say I'm with you 100%. I have some ideas. Okay. She says, she asks if it's normal to not want to date. Yeah, of course. Like, I think it's normal for a lot of people to like, I think like it's not normal to start dating because you can't date normally.
Okay.
So like for her, if she's like, I don't want to date right now, I can't even like figure out if I like someone based off of FaceTime, whatever. Okay, don't date. Let's maybe take a minute from dating. That's okay.
Yeah.
I would say, and I'm sure this was like a self-help book title at another time, but like, you got to find other ways to fill your cup. You got to find other ways to fill you up, make you feel good, to distract you. I think right now, a lot of us aren't making plans because we already did the Zoom happy hours with people. I think you got to make some Zoom happy hours. I think get the group together to do something different, make them themed, do some, like, let's go back to that one for a second. Also, moving home, going and being around loved ones, being around family. I think when she says, I didn't feel connected to the person I used to date, let's figure out what connected means to you with the people in your life that you're most connected with without dating, you know?
Right.
Because you're, I think with dating, you are trying to find someone who fills you up the same way. And there's a very sexual joke I could make right now, but I'm not going to do it. But that someone that fills you up emotionally in the same way the best people in your life do. That's what you're looking for, right?
Yeah, someone who you feel the way that you do in a really good conversation with a friend. Or
yes.
like when you're vibing with, you know, anyone that you enjoy spending time with.
So if you're out of a relationship during these times, finding someone to get that with is going to be tough sledding. Not going to lie to you. Sorry. Bad news. There's a global pandemic. But you already have people in your life who do that for you. And I know a lot of people, when they get into relationships, especially two-year relationships, you start separating a little bit from friends. You get a little bit farther away from maybe that couple you used to hang out with or that family member you used to talk a lot with. Let's start bringing them back. Let's bring out the old players. And I think like moving home and being around parents and seeing that dynamic, you don't have to do it forever. Do it for a week and then go back to your other apartment. Like, let's get energized on the people that we have at our disposal that energize us. I think that's like the only way to go.
Totally. I think either the people and then also like maybe like another project that you can think of. Like, yeah. What's something you've been wanting to do that you kind of are always just kind of like fixated or distracted by these relationship issues that you were having, that now you maybe have more mental energy for, that you can like get more into. I'm saying the most creative like experiences of my life where I feel like when I was like kind of miserable after a breakup and I was like, something else. That Betches started when I remember like in the days following like a really bad experience in dating.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just, it was me and Eileen and Sammy, but it was like, I remember we were like, I was like miserable and needed something to like take my mind off of it. And we were like joking around and like you said, like connecting with friends, but also like, I think for me, it was like, let me get out this energy and like something else, like this, like kind of, like, you know what I mean? I felt like intensely bad. And like, I was like, let's get a new project.
And
this was something to distract me.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you do have time. That's like the hardest part about a breakup is you're like, oh my God, all the, you know, there's one less person to text, talk to and hug. And you're like, who do I even talk to right now? You know, like, well, you know, okay, now you got some time to do some shit. You know, like, let's get into it. And I think it's cool to hear that Betches was started in that way. I'm sure a lot of people love hearing that. And I think a lot of stories of things that were created have come from hard times. I mean, the beginning of this podcast, we talked about 2020. This is the last podcast of the year. The idea that this is going to be the story someone tells. Well, 2020, I lost my job. I moved out with my boyfriend and I ended. My girlfriend and I ended. So I started doing this thing, or so I moved to this place, or so I, and it's like, that
even
could be
I got closer with
story.
This friend. Yeah.
Totally.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code podcast15.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 perfume mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10. Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. And hey, listen. What better way to celebrate the new year than to rate, review, and subscribe this podcast?
If you are listening, to tell all your friends.
To tell all your friends. If you're listening right now, pause and tell the group chat. Just do it right now. Send your favorite episode from 2020 to the group chat right now. Tell them to subscribe. That is a great gift to Jordan and I. That's a great way to pay for this podcast. Awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it.
Hi, J&J. I'm a longtime listener who constantly finds themselves giving their friends advice that start with, well, according to Jared and Jordana, Oh, look at that. That's nice. Thanks for putting together such an entertaining but helpful podcast. Back in college, I went out one night and started talking to this cute guy. We went back to his after, and the sex was really great. Somewhat surprisingly for a one-night stand. I woke up early the next day and wanted my own bed, so I got dressed and woke him up just before leaving to say bye. The best type of one-night stand. Just, hey, I'm going to get out of here.
Bye.
Oh, bye. Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I feel like it's easier for a girl to do.
Oh, my God. So much easier.
Like, if a guy did that to me, I'd be like, fucking asshole. But I would. I mean, if a girl does it, it's kind of empowering. You know? If we do it, it's empowering. If you do it, you're like a dick.
A monster. Yeah. And listen, that's why the home game is the best way, because then it's like on them a little bit, like, hey, I'm going to get out of here. And you're like, oh, thank goodness. I have my whole, now I can really let my wings.
They're the ones who have to decide when to leave. It's like easier that way. Yeah.
Oh, you find out what a good actor you are. Oh, you're leaving? Okay, cool. Oh, really? Well, okay. Oh, you have my number? Okay. Okay. Text me when you get back. Cool. Yeah, I had a great time too. Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk later. Yeah, you
know, that's pretty good.
Right?
You did a pretty good job there. Yeah, I believed it.
I'm pretty good at it. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I then left his bedroom and called an Uber. Since the Uber was a few minutes away, I decided to go to the bathroom. Take a huge dump before she left. No, I...
Surprise.
Ah, she left me a present. Well, what a mistake that was. Turns out their lock was temperamental, and once inside, I was stuck. I kept trying to unlock the door, but to no avail. Since I'd just met... She went into the King's English.
It's so funny about how whatever a wrench this put in her, like, I'm going to go.
Yeah. It was so cute and dainty. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go. It was great meeting you. No, don't get up. You sleep. And then.
You had the whole sexy leaving cool girl thing going on.
Totally. Then she's in the bathroom just going, just aggressively shaking a doorknob, just like.
Oh my God.
I kept trying to unlock the door, but to no avail. Since I just met the guy the night before, I didn't have his number to call either, and he was peacefully asleep, assuming I'd gone home. I did start to bang on the door, hoping he or one of his roommates would hear me, but again, to no avail. After an hour of being stuck in this bathroom, an hour.
Oh, my God.
I heard one of his roommates in the living room. I called out. And luckily, he heard. Oh, my God. Hello?
I'm stuck in the bathroom.
It's me. It's me, Kara. You don't know
don't
me,
know
but
me.
I've been. I was one of the women at McDougal's last night. I've been stuck in here for 58 minutes.
It's been 3 days. Please let me out. Oh my God.
I called out.
I would love that if the man got stuck in my bathroom. Sorry, go on.
I heard one of his roommates in the living room. I called out. Luckily, he heard. I explained that I was stuck, and he tried to open the door from his side. When that didn't work, he said, "We're gonna have to take the door off its hinges." But then it had to be done from my side. To me, the funniest part about this is the conversation going on outside the door. Like, he has a roommate.
Having to explain it?
Yeah, explain it. Chris had a girl over. She's stuck. She went to take a shit, and now she's stuck in there. And she's on the other
Hopefully
side.
Hopefully it didn't
smell. Oh, my God. Just like... Yeah, he met this chick out last night, and she's stuck in the shitter.
It's the girl with the sequin blouse. No one said blouse. Shirt from...
Yeah, the other roommate. That one?
No, not that one. The other one.
Oh, she was hot. Hey, good to meet you. You know, all the normal... she went from... just like you said, there's that sexy leave, and then everything becomes real.
Now it's like a rescue mission.
Totally. Like all the conversation, like people stop talking like their one night stand self. Like one night stand, you're like, hey, great to meet you. And then it's like, hey, you got to get the doors off the hinges from the inside.
You know, like, yeah, it's like, have you ever had to ask someone you were seeing to like for toilet paper?
Like,
hey,
yeah, of
course. You're out of toilet paper. It like ruins the whole, this is like that times like 100.
Totally. Because it goes, you start at, hey, you're out of, and they're like, what? And no, you're out of toilet paper. Like you switch the tone. I explain that you roll, and he's like, what do you mean? And then the more you have to explain, the more right, your tone just gets serious.
And then you have to like raise your voice. Yeah. I can't believe she was in there for an hour. Sorry, finish the story.
But that it had been done from my side. So she had to take it off the hinges from her side. Luckily, there was a window that faced the outdoors where he'd be able to pass me the tools. However, it had an irremovable screen that he had to cut through in order to get me the screwdriver. I was able to get the door open by unscrewing one of the hinges, which I then handed to his roommate, who was on the other side trying to contain his laughter. I walked out the house and had to order another Uber since obviously mine hadn't waited for the hour that I was stuck in this random guy's bathroom. Sincerely, who knew there was such a thing as so much standing involved in a one-night stand?
Oh, my God. I love this story.
Great story. Also, the idea that the Uber driver, he's calling like, hey, are you coming or what? You know, it's like, I'll be out and... what would you call this one?
Probably thought she was kidnapped.
I mean, there's got to be some concern there.
I mean, she had her phone in there. I wonder, like, I would call this escape room.
That's a great one. Yeah.
What do you think?
Saw 10.
Seriously, she had to saw her way out of there. Yeah.
Really? The prisoner, the stowaway, one night in the clink, locked up.
I'm trying to think what I would do. I don't think I could be there in an hour just waiting. Like if you had a phone, like I guess you couldn't call. It's what are you going to call a friend and be like, can you come to this man's apartment?
I mean, the way she did her escape was the only way it could be done. Like,
yeah, I guess they wouldn't have been able to help her.
They know. Yeah. They also know their door. So, like, I if it's temperamental, you know, like, hey, we don't shut it this way. We shut it right. That, you know what I mean? Like, so they're the experts on this door. So, like, she did the right thing, I think. Like, calling, like if you had, like, I guess, like, there's this, like, have an emergency handy person in your phone. But, like, that.
Even that, like, where are you telling them to come? How do you even know what apartment you're in?
Right. I'm going to drop a pin. My location. Yeah.
I'm just imagining her just screaming like help from this random bathroom for like an hour. It's like so sad.
Hello? But
so funny. Great story.
It's a great story. Also, it could be called Locked Up Abroad. Like TV
like
show.
That.
Yeah, that could be a good name for it. Anything like that ever happened to you?
I've had a bathroom situation. I think I might have told it already on this podcast where I clogged. The guy I was seeing had like already left for work. He and his roommates all left for work. And then I like went to the bathroom, not realizing it was like, that was like their clogged bathroom.
Mm.
And I did what I had to do and then it wouldn't go down. But no one was there. So I just left.
Oh my God.
What does that mean? Like, what was I supposed to do?
Did you mention it to him or? Did you ever see him again?
I think I saw him again. But I just, I was like, what am I going to do? Like,
no, nothing. I mean, they definitely did like the, that chick clogged our toilet. Like that's like,
yeah, I'm sure. I was just like, I can't, I mean, like, I'm not going to go down and like, what am I going to text him and be like, I was like, hopefully still like just all, it'd be like a diffusion of responsibility. They'll all think it was like the other one. Like, I have places to be. I got to go.
When you do, you know, it's funny, like Betches is such a huge brand, such a huge company now. Do you ever have that feeling? I have that feeling sometimes when I think of other people, and this is a narcissism, I know, but like I do have that thought of like someone going, like someone being like, yeah, Jared's a comedian now. And someone being like, what? From high school, like being annoying. Like I just imagine like the worst version of the conversation of me, like, really? Him? You know, like, that like guy? Two people.
Yeah.
That guy? The one that, like...
I think about that all the time, yeah.
Do you ever think about this group of guys being like, you ever hear of Betches? Yeah, Jordana start... The shit girl? You know, like, do you ever think of that?
No, but I mean, if that's the case, I feel lucky to still be in their conversations, and that I'm sure. Well known enough that, you know, I would think it was like almost a good, it's better to have that than to be anonymous.
Well, that's a better way to look at it. The way I look at it, I'm like crippled by that conversation.
I love the idea of one of them listening to this, and this whole time they're blaming it on like one of them. And then they hear this and they know like kind of who I am, and they're like, oh, like it was her the whole time. This
finally.
Was like 6 years ago.
Yeah, I it is the big reveal on the final episode of 2020.
You know who you are.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's you want to do another email?
Yeah, let's do it. All right.
UUP@betches.com. Let's do it.
Hey, J&J, my boyfriend and I graduated college in December 2019, and throughout college we were the will they, won't they kind of relationship. We finally made it official after graduation. We quarantined with each other and we have grown so close. I want a future with him, and he says and does things that show we are on the same page. However, as a result of the pandemic, my boyfriend was furloughed in April and then ultimately laid off in June. It's been 6 months now, and I feel like he has some job application fatigue, and he is not as motivated to look for a job. With so many Americans out of work, I feel as though the competition is worse than ever, and he needs to show more drive to want a job, especially since he only has 4 months of work experience. I feel really frustrated because we agreed that our plan was to move in together next July when my lease is up, and maybe this won't be the case if he's still jobless or he has to move cities. In addition to my frustrations about the future, the unemployment checks and his savings are starting to dry up, and I find myself paying for way more things lately. Typically, my standard is that I like to split things evenly. He gets this dinner, I'll get the next one. But obviously, that cannot be the case when I'm the only one with a job. I don't think I would feel this annoyed about paying for things if I felt like he was really trying to find a job, but that is not the case. And I can tell I'm growing a little more resentful of this. All in all, I find this laziness super unattractive. I love him and I want to be with him, but I don't know how to bring this up without sounding naggy, controlling, or insensitive, because I do think he's insecure about not having a job and being laid off. You think?
Yeah.
A pandemic with millions of layoffs is hopefully a once in a lifetime occurrence. So this is not a deal breaker, just a major annoyance. The main issue is that I want him to focus on finding a job for our future. Please bestow your wisdom on how I can approach this delicately. Sincerely, the employed girlfriend.
Tough. Oof. Brutal. All of this sucks.
Yes.
Let me start by saying that. It's also the timing of this. Again, timing is everything, and like their ages are very important.
Yeah, it sounds like they're like 20, 22.
23. You're out in the real world. You're going to get your first job out of college. And then, like, you can't even look for a job. So, like, and, but, so that's kind of, like, where, this is, like, to me, this is the reason you don't marry your college girlfriend. I mean, or your college hookup boyfriend, or college.
Whatever, yeah.
Significant other.
Will they, won't they, as she calls it.
Yeah, the Jim and Pam of fucking.
Of the University of Delaware.
Yeah, the. Yeah, the Udell, Jim and Pam. Yeah, so I, because I'm looking at, like, what she wrote, I would have dumped her. I would have ended this.
You would have dumped her.
Yeah.
Or she, you know, she wrote, well, in asking if what she should do about.
Yeah. So, well, let me explain. Yeah. And I don't mean, I'm just saying. From his, I'm looking at this of, like, if I was the boyfriend without a job, trying to figure shit out, running through savings, my money, like, part of my disposable money isn't going to go towards switching off dinners. Like,
what's it going to go towards?
Moving home.
Nintendo Switch games.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, like, the idea. Weed, booze. Spike seltzers. Yeah, the reason I say that I would break up with her is that I can't afford to have a significant other right now. That's how I would feel. Like the
I feel like for guys, it's more expensive to be single.
Oh no! Come on.
Maybe not now.
You're not signing up for future purchases.
You think? Yeah, I always thought it was more expensive to be a single guy and a girl in a relationship. Because you're not, like, think about how much you pay for, like, dates. If you're going on, like, a few dates a week, like, I feel like that's.
A first date can be $30 if you want. You could have a good first date. Everyone gets two drinks at a fine bar. When you're 22, like, you don't have to go to the Cipriani. You know, like, I don't know. I just hear this when she says the main issue is that I want them to focus on finding a job for our future. Imagine. So when you say it's cheaper to be in a relationship. No, it isn't.
Well, he's not if you have a girlfriend who's talking
like
that.
Well, they gotta have a lease.
Trying to buy a house.
Yeah, like they gotta figure out where they're moving and what doorman building they're gonna have. And like, I'd be like, what the fuck? I'm not close to our future. I don't even have a future of my own. I'm just saying, there's another part of this email that we have to talk about. But I'm saying, as far as like, them like building a future together, I do understand why she's annoyed, because the laser he is with this job search, the laser he is about them two moving on to the next phase of their relationship.
Right. Well, I mean, if he's 23, I do feel like I can see why he's like not that concerned with that, especially they graduated at the end, almost basically the beginning of 2020, the end of 2019.
Yeah.
And then like, and they were, they were like the on and off couple, and then now he's like, and now I've got to like save to move. It seems like a little fast. I don't think there's anything wrong with the speed that she's moving, but to me, I wouldn't expect that of a 23-year-old guy.
Yeah, and also 23-year-old guy who's never had a job before, out of college, and has, she even said it, nothing on his resume. He's got to get an entry-level job. There's not a lot of entry-level hires going on right now. Like, she's like, come on, hustle it up. Everyone else is working harder. You got to work 20 times harder than everyone else. It's like, lay off. You know, listen, I'm not saying.
We're like, fine, be that person, but realize that, like, that not everyone has that mindset.
And maybe he's not the match for you. You are now seeing what someone is like in the quote unquote. This is my favorite thing to hear college kids say is like the real world. They talk about it like it's some fantasy, but it's like, yeah, this is, you don't know what it's like to date someone until you see them through the process. And right now she's like, I want to build our future together. Well, are you sure? Sounds like you're not that attracted to him anymore. And you're not attracted to the way he's handling the pandemic and the job and the job prospects. Sounds like you're not that into him.
Right. So it's like, I think she's like gotten ahead of herself of like, okay, we need to like move in together soon. It's like, he doesn't have a job. You don't know, like, he doesn't know where he's going to be. He doesn't like.
He's not thinking of these things. He's thinking of like, and if I'm him, like if my advice to him as a 22-year-old, 23-year-old guy getting out of college, he probably has no idea what he wants. Like, that was my biggest problem coming out of college. My biggest problem was I had no idea what I wanted to do, and I was so jealous and envious of the people who knew what they wanted, the place they wanted to run. So right. When you know which direction, I'm not saying everyone knows what they want to do, but if you're like, I want to go into medicine, like, oh my God, what a relief.
I was always jealous of those people.
Yeah. So jealous. Like,
they got the next 10 years. They know what they're doing for the next 10 years.
Yeah, go to school. You get out of school. You pick a residency. You know, the road is just less wide. If even people who are like, I want to be in finance, I would go, oh, I am so jealous of you. Because then you go, you start researching. Oh, it's step one to get towards it. You could start looking at the, you know, the job. When someone's like, I want to be in media, that's harder than saying I want to be in finance, because media could be a billion
anything,
different things.
Right.
So, but then if someone says, like, life became for me way easier as far as a worker was concerned the minute I knew I wanted to be funny for money. And it was real, like, that simplified things so much for me. And like, listen, that sounds like everyone's like, well, yeah, that's fun to do. That's not for everybody. I'm saying,
and that wasn't that easy.
I'm not saying it's easy. Yeah. Everything is hard. Yeah. Everything is difficult. But when you don't know what you want to do, it feels like so much weight on your shoulders. I never felt more free than when I was like, here's the direction I'm going. So, and again, I didn't find that until I was 25 years old. So to this guy, like, I feel for him, because she's like, come on, I want to do something. And it's like, and again, as a man, when you're taught your whole life to be somewhat of a provider and someone like kind of like a rock of some sort for people emotionally, you know, like, this is kind of how societally, you know, I'm not saying that, like, boo hoo. I'm just saying these are the societal things that men are kind of like put in the position of being. I wouldn't feel good about moving on, you know, what's the next phase with you? I'd be like, let me try and figure this out. And again, she mentions his laziness. Yeah, it looks lazy when you don't know what the next step is, or he's lazy and you're not attracted to him. That's also true. So,
right. And I think that, like, honestly, if she did really want to be in this, like, long-term mature relationship with this guy, like, part of that is kind of like, yeah, you do pay for more shit if they're out of a job. Like, that's what a grown-up mature relationship is. Like, the person takes care of the other person when they're down. That's like the whole point. Like, to me, like, she's in very like college mode relationship. She wants to be in like adult mode relationship mode, but she's actually still in college mode of like, whose parents' credit card are we using this night? Or like, do you know what I mean? Or like, we're going to split everything down the middle. Like, relationships don't really work like that. Like, sometimes people are down and you need to do more shit because they can't take care of themselves. That's like that's the hardest part about being in a relationship, but that's the most real world part of it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with what you just said more. And then it's also, in addition to that, it's, yeah, she could be saying to us, I'm broke up with my boyfriend from college because I didn't like his passion level. That to me is a reasonable adult way to break up. Like, at that point, we just weren't on the same level as far as maturity and towards the next phase of life. That's an adult relationship.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. You could find a bunch of guys who seem like they're more ambitious or working harder or doing whatever. If that's someone that you're looking for, that's a big priority for you, like, find someone like that. I think that's fine.
Yeah, and if you're going to have a conversation with this guy, just be like, hey, I'm thinking of the next level. If you're not thinking of the next level, and it kind of, every time you don't look for a job, it kind of makes me feel that way. Because she's resenting him for not wanting to pursue. She's basically taking it personally that he's not looking harder because it holds her back from life. This is back to what I said in the beginning, where it's like, this is why you don't date your high school, college sweetheart. This is the... Again,
don't marry them. Yeah, most people don't marry them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's reasons to do it. I'm not saying that you're a crazy person for doing it, but this is the reasons against it. Figuring out how to be independent. Figuring out that, like, yeah, no, their plan isn't maybe the same as your plan. Like, that's why I was saying I would dump her. I'd be like, listen, you're ready for something different than me. I'm not ready to be, you know, I'm not ready to run yet. You're ready to run. Good luck.
Right. And I think that both of those things are fair. Both of those people are like good for each of them to want what they want or to not be pressured to like move at a pace that you're not ready to move at, I think is also fine. So she should
totally
verbalize it, and maybe the timing's not right for them.
Yeah. I'm with you. The college girlfriend boyfriend versus the real world girlfriend. I mean, it is. I think the pandemic has put, it's either made people younger or older. Like, right. I feel like I aged 10 years this year. I went from living alone in an apartment in a different part of town to now I have, you know, own an apartment while living with my girlfriend, and, you know, my tenants moved out of the apartment. I got to find new people to move in. Now I'm in this like landlord mode. Like, I feel 100 years old.
Yeah, no, I definitely see that. It definitely puts everything in perspective. And I just think it's interesting that she was like, my standard is that I pay for half. It's like, no one gives a shit what your standard is when someone is in a down place. Like, if you're like, if you have the flu and you can't wash the dishes, I'm like, well, my standard is that you do the dishes twice a week. It's like, there are exceptions. The standards thing isn't like...
Well, I think she's using our words to like to say that like I've been healthy about this. Well, you have, you know, that if that's your standard, then you leave him, right, or you make an exception because things in life come up. And that's why so many people like stay in things where they go, well, maybe next week will be different. The healthiest people go, next week wasn't different, so I have to go, or next week wasn't different, so maybe I should adjust my expectations. It's one or the other.
I agree. All right, let's play some games.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. I got to say, I was laughing out loud at these red flag deal breakers.
They're pretty good submissions this week.
This week, we end the year on a solid group of red flag deal breakers because I was laughing out loud.
And these are all true. I love it.
I love true story red flag deal breaker. Send them in, UUP at Betches.com. All right, you want to do the first, or you want me to do it? I'll do the first one, or you do it.
All right, you could do it.
Okay. They suggest Benihana for the first date, and not as a joke. Some details, we both live in NYC, and the guy suggesting is 40 years old.
That's great.
I love this one because I love Benihana. I would eat
Mike
Benihana.
Mike loves Benihana.
Really? Mike and I should go together. We should go. It's hard.
He's gone for his birthday.
That's when I like to go.
We got into a group thing there.
What if we all joined a Reddit thread of all Benihana lovers that we all connected over it?
That's funny. It's very like, I feel like it's very like, it's like a little kitschy, but it's fun, whatever.
Well, it's my favorite food. I think the food is delicious. Like, I just love a high sodium soy sauce fried rice. Fried rice is my favorite. And also, it's very difficult. This might not relate outside of New York. It's very difficult to get a reservation at a Benihana in New York City.
Oh, I agree. I've been to that one. We waited like 3 hours. We had a reservation and we still waited like 2 hours on a Saturday night when we were there.
It is so difficult. And then there's one in, there's like, I'm talking about Benihana, like, you know, Kleenex versus tissues. I call them all Benihanas, you know, like, but we used to call it Japanese Steakhouse. Is that what you call it?
We had Benihana on Long Island, so we just called it
Benihana.
It was the same thing.
Didn't have Benihana. We didn't have the brand. We had like just cooktop Japanese food.
Here's why I love Benihana too. I feel like it appeals to everyone. I was waiting 2 hours in the Benihana in Midtown in New York City, and every single kind of person is there. It's black people, it's white people, it's old people, it's young people, it's rich people, it's poor people. Like, you could just, it's every single kind of person. I like things that like bring everyone together.
The onion volcano is not exclusive to any one group. Jess just goes, I love the onion volcano. That's why we're
living
together.
I love the soup.
The soup with the little onion in it. Oh,
this is not sponsored.
this is not spot, but we'll take a Benihana sponsorship. Jess just said my stomach hurts every time after I leave. And I agree with her. I eat.
I like that she's been enough that she knows that.
She's been, I mean, I would say I'm the type, to me, this is the perfect first date. And I know I'm agreeing, like the fact that she's like the guy suggesting it is 40 years old. Okay, first of all, you're at a table with other people to talk about. Jordana just told you it's every type of person, so there'll be someone to shit talk at that table. You're two on a date. You get to see how they react to the shrimp tail flip. Like, all this stuff is like, it, to me, you're combining an activity with a dinner date, and a dinner date doesn't really offer a lot of activities. I think it is a, I put this dinner date on top. Like, the fact that the guy's like, hey, let's go to Benihana, that's fun. It's interesting.
Yeah, he's
it's
got
stupid.
A sense of humor, probably, too. It's funny. It's also in 40-year-old virgin, I'm pretty sure he goes to Benihana on the first date with that woman that he marries.
And he finds the love of his life. There we go.
You remember? They do like the happy birthday song or something. I don't know. It was like, yeah, I think it's great.
And they have the Japanese butter that I put on. I eat so much food when I go to, like, and I get mad at people when they start divvying up the fried rice, you know, when they come with that little extra at the end, they're like, who wants it? And then they give it to like the little kid and you're like, get out of that kid's mouth, give it to me, you fucking asshole.
That's so funny.
Yeah, this is a green flag.
You can get, no, I'm just kidding, we do not have a code.
Promo code you up at your next Benihana. No.
It'd be funny if we tried to like make them use it. Like, you go into Benihana and you tell them this. Psych. There's no code.
Go to the front desk. Where do I get? They said to mention you up when you got here. What? What are you talking about?
That would be great. I would love that. Would have been a really funny joke to play on you guys.
To me, it's a red flag that this person emailed the podcast asking if Benihana is a good date for a first date.
I can see how if you told your friends about this, that they'd be like, he took you to Benihana.
I don't want to be a part of any group that couldn't see the fun in a Benihana date. Like, yeah. I can't even, the shrimp and steak, surf and turf. Are you kidding me? Also the people at the table, it's always hilarious. Like, the people that you're sitting with, other people, and you're far enough away that you can actually have a conversation. You can talk during this. You can get, they got fun drinks. They got drinks that light on fire.
You guys, everyone should go to Benihana on the first date.
Yeah, that's right. We're a pro. I guess Benihana is probably the worst suggestion for a COVID first date.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe once this whole thing is over. Yeah. It's probably probably up there with the worst thing you could possibly do right now.
The pandemic has taken away so much.
An outdoor Benihana wouldn't be the same. You wouldn't leave smelling like Benihana for 4 days.
You do smell like it forever. That was like the reason my family wouldn't go. Like, my mom would be like, now you smell like it. And then we'd have to not go. If there was an outdoor Benihana, I would go right now. I'd put on like 7 winter coats and I would go eat it outside.
Same. It sounds fun. All right, let's do another one.
You spend the weekend at a guy's house and they have no toilet paper, but offer paper towel instead. Red flag or deal breaker? Backstory. We lived 3 hours apart, so I had to go to the bathroom right when I got there. There was no toilet paper in the bathroom I used, and so I called his name and asked for some, and he came back with an almost empty roll saying his roommate stole it from his bathroom. I was like, why are you guys stealing each other's toilet paper? Why can't you have multiple rolls? This is quite an opening for her. Hey, I just got here 3 hours away. Can I use the bathroom? Yeah, here's some paper towels.
Josh, I lent you the toilet paper last night. Do you have the roll?
The ratchet.
Do you have it? Do you know where it's below what? Where?
He apologized and said he was under the impression the quote-unquote dog house, that's what his roommates and him call their house, was fully stocked.
Oh, my God.
Can't wait for the first date. Just stop by the dog house before my first date.
Was this date at Alpha Epsilon Pi?
He said after we went to dinner, we would pick some up. Oh, Well, the market was closed, and so he said we could just use paper towel for that night. What's even worse is that in the middle of the night when I asked for the paper towel, now she's asking for it.
I would have grabbed some sheets before I went up.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. You forget that there's no toilet paper.
I mean, not blaming her. When I asked for the paper towels, he told me to go downstairs to the kitchen to get it. Ugh. This is my first time. There was a second time? This is my first time at his house, and so I didn't really know my way around. Plus, it was so dark. So I was very annoyed that he didn't offer to get the paper towels himself from downstairs. I am still at his house. I am still at his house, and he has yet to get the toilet paper. Hoping it's on the agenda for today.
Is this listener dating the guy from the most recent email we just did? Just out of college?
Yeah, the guy who's like living at the doghouse. Woof, woof, welcome to the doghouse. That's how we do. No toilet paper here. Paper towels on your ass. We don't give a shit about Charmin. You know,
like, I would be so out at this. I mean, like, I'm 31. So, like, yeah, I would be very, very much deal breaker for me.
Yeah, this is.
Even the doghouse comment, I don't know if I could go back with someone who referred to their home like that.
Yeah, these people must be younger, but the lack of awareness that you are living in squalor is...
Or chivalry of like, here, oh, I'll make sure. I'm so sorry. This is so embarrassing. Here, let me make sure you have...
You're right. That's the main point of this. It's not that he doesn't have the toilet paper. It's the lack of embarrassment that he doesn't have the toilet paper. Like,
way worse.
He should be above and beyond. Like, listen, I get it. You're young. You're a dude. You don't give a shit about these things. You're living in the doghouse. You got a Beware of Dog sticker above your door. You think it's hilarious. You wear a lot of, you know, lacrosse pennies. I get it. You drink a bunch of spiked seltzer. You make a lot of rhymes with law and claw. I get it, dude. But you got to be – the lack of care for how much you would care – means he doesn't care to like make this a good experience. He's not really caring about the next time you come back at that point. I would assume
right.
that this guy would be like, this guy ghosts or he's not making the next 3-hour trip to you. I don't think he's going to do that.
Yeah, I think it's a no from me. Should we do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more. Go ahead.
Hey, J&J, love the pod I've shared with all my friends. So my long-term high school boyfriend had a twin sister, and they took their senior pictures together. And instead of individual shots, they were mostly of the two of them. And the pictures were very cozy, putting it lightly. And honestly, it looked like engagement photos. It made me feel extremely awkward, and a lot of people from our school were talking about it and asked me what I thought about the pics. For reference, several of them included the twins holding hands, him giving her a piggyback ride, and kissing each other on the cheek. The worst part was him and his sister didn't see an issue with the pictures and kept posting them on Instagram. I think the relatable example would be the borderline PDA Christmas photos of just the brother and sister. Sincerely, not the traditional threesome with twins fantasy.
Well, we have the pictures and we're not going to share them because that would be just
privacy.
Mean. Yes. Yeah, we just can't share them. I don't even think blurring their faces out is worth it, right?
Yeah, because I feel like if you knew them, you'd be able to tell.
But the pictures are damning. I have to agree.
They do look like engagement photos for sure, I think.
Oh my God, they look so much like engagement photos. And it's definitely off-putting. And it also shows that, like, do they have a cynical bone in their body? Like, the only explanation that kind of is okay for me is that they were like, the parents were like, we're going to save some money by taking them this way, by doing a 2-for-1 special because you guys are twins.
Like for senior photos?
Yeah. And then the photographer has a lot of artistic leeway, and the parents are there for the photo shoot. And the parents are like, come on, kiss her on the cheek. Like, the parents have a, like, the only way I could understand right. these pictures is if the parents are a little bit disconnected from, like, the real world, and they're like, kiss your sister, and then, like, jump on his back. Like,
right, but the part that's weird is, like, right, they're proud of it. They don't think it's weird. That, to me, is weird. Like, it's kind of like the toilet paper guy. Like, the fact that you're not like, wow, these are, like, kind of, or, like, you wouldn't make reference to the fact that these are, like, clearly, like, intimate looking photos.
I mean, the captions don't help at all. You're a weirdo, but I'll miss you next year. That's like the caption. And then the other
hashtag
caption.
#twins.
Yeah. Sometimes I love you. Hashtag twins. Like this photo shoot is only okay when you get the joke that you're making. Like again, if it was like a TBT and they had the exact same photos of them when they were like six, like you go, oh, this is fantastic and hilarious, and BuzzFeed would write about it. Like,
right. You know, there's no irony that they're showing in these captions.
I used to think there's a comic that I would see at like open mics, and I always used to say that, and he would just scream racist shit at open mics, okay? And it was horrible. But you'd always, like, he was just like up on stage, like, because again, open mic, you can pay $5 and you go up and you can do whatever. I'm not going to the, for those at home, I'm not going to the racist open mic. You just go in the back of a bar, someone pays $5 and they go up and they're allowed to say whatever they want. So there's this guy that used to be around the open mic scene who would just go up and say like the most racist things like possible. And he would say them in joke form, but you were like, this is from another time. It sounds bad. But I always used to say, if he just knew what he was saying a little bit, he would be the most famous comedian alive. Like he would like, if he knew what he was doing was bad, then it would be like, everyone, he'd be an avant-garde artist. Like it would be art at that point.
Well, that's what puts people at ease when you like say, when you understand like what you're doing.
Yeah. And these people are on the doorstep of understanding, but they don't get it. So now I'm like, even if I'm this woman who wrote in, I'd be like, yeah, this, I can't believe the guy I'm dating doesn't get it. It would be a massive readjustment of what I thought of my part.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I dated someone who had like weird closeness things with their like sibling and their mom. And I always thought it was like, I guess it wasn't a deal breaker because that's not why we broke up. But I think it made me uncomfortable. Yeah. It wasn't meant for a long term situation.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's just very difficult.
Yeah, well that's our last episode of the year. We hope you enjoy 2020 with us.
Happy New Year. Thank you. Thank you, everyone who listens. Thank you if you're listening right now. I won't speak for Jordan. I love doing this podcast every week. So it really makes me feel good that people enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoy doing it, right?
Yeah, definitely. Same here. And we will see you next year. Happy New Year. You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Dana Samuel. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at You Up Pod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.